Capcom, Mel, and here's your host, Matthew Chorney.
He is always favorite.
I have waited so long to finally do this. I am more excited than I am anything else right now. Oh, shit. We were only 3 months off this year. We finally got lucky. I'm so happy. This is the closest we've ever been.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, are we going to have to do a special now? Because, like, it might actually be...
When I'm finally let go from work, then we'll do it. Because right now, I think I'm the last bastard showing up.
Well, I have to go back into the office tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I think, like, 90% of the people are now working from home. So I'll be in an office usually reserved for about 200 people, and it'll be me and like 3 people spread throughout it. But to be honest with you, I'm fine with it because I'm a very rational person, and my points at the moment is people who are irrational and people who spread misinformation and their own fucking anxieties, and it just drives me fucking insane. And I actually had to say to a group of people the other day, in one of my most Captain Picard moments of all time, I was just
shut
like,
shut up, Wesley.
No, I just went, admit to yourself that you're scared and get over it, okay? I start going, this is why you're still going to bars. This is why you're doing stupid things, because you want to feel normal. Well, normal life is over, and get used to it. That's, like, because that's it. Like, people just are unwilling to admit that they're afraid. Yeah. And it's like, honestly, you probably don't need to be as afraid as you are being. You just need to be sensible and push through it like a fucking responsible adult. This is everybody's first test of that in their proper lives. Like, you know, it's like, there's an entire generation. It's like, congratulations, welcome to your World War II. You know, guess what? It's not as hard as
not killing us, guys, nor are bombs dropping yet. On March 18th, 2020, just for a frame of reference, we're going to need it for this show. All 4 of us are secure in our bunkers, hiding away from, you know, the T-virus, and it's been educational, let me put it this way,
God.
Like, because this is probably about the only thing we're going to talk about today, but
what are we talking about? Is something going on right now?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the beauty of it, like, this cold opening isn't actually cold, it's red hot. Like, that's the beauty of this one, Mel, doesn't matter where in the world you are, you know exactly what we're talking about.
Oh my god, that's
and,
right. That's gotta be a sidecast first, right?
It's a world first.
The thing is, well, and I think I reached this point pretty quickly, where I and like, obviously this kind of, I'm not saying, we can obviously talk about everything today, but I'm saying, I reached the point of, I'm like, oh yeah, I've got all the information I need, I'm just going to watch Nick Cage movies. Like, I was like, what more can be said, you know? And it's just, like, I think this is, a real risk to public health.
Okay, so, here's the thing. I've gone out more this week than I have in the past, you know, 3 months of this year. Simply because, just circumstance, you know what I mean? The shit, as far as what I'm hearing about and reading about and seeing, has not come to my city yet. The only thing that we've hit is the shortage of toilet paper. That is a universal, bullshit, ridiculous thing that has happened. Whatever, we're on, like, week 5 of that, so fuck off. Everyone knows about that problem. I have learned a couple of things, though. About this. One, bars will be the last thing to close, because holy fuck, they are here, Mel, because they're still fucking open and past capacity by 100 people all the fucking time.
Well, Matt, you know, it's really, really imperative that retail tire sales go on amidst the fact that everything else here is fucking closed. Most of the Midwest, though, Chicago shut everything down. Illinois closed the state down. The county that Bob works in is under a state of emergency, but golly gee willikers, if tire doesn't have to keep going on and on and on, and they're sticking it to salaried employees and cutting the hourly workers' wages,
mm-hmm.
which puts me at a higher risk because, you know, Bob's in a danger zone where his store is. They don't give a fuck.
As of right now, I'm still, my job's still working. Although, what has happened is anybody over 60 was like, go home, don't come. Now, I will say this. My company, which will remain nameless, is actually being a pack of heroes about the shit right now. And that's all I'll say about it. Like, I can't really find anything to complain about. They're trying to keep the doors open for as long as they fucking can. And they're trying to be as good to its older employees as best they fucking can.
I'll say this as well, Matt. You're going to want a job. Not like everybody wants a job, obviously, but like to keep your mind occupied. Like, I realize.
That's the problem, though.
You know?
The conspiratorial nutbags I work with every day have just shifted into fucking overdrive. And that, more than anything, is driving me absolutely up the fucking wall. What's up?
No, I was wondering, is this anything to do with the sun? The binary star that's coming to collide with our own star? Is that...
I really fucking wish it would at this point, to be completely honest with you. No, honestly, like, this is the fun one because... No, the big one lately is, oh man, I hope the National Guard doesn't get involved. They took the guns away from people in Katrina. I hope the National Guard doesn't get involved. Like, it's all the gun nut conspiratorial flat earth little twats, same shit.
Michigan gun sales have skyrocketed
because
if there's anything everyone knows is you can totally shoot coronavirus right where it stands.
Well, no, they want to shoot the people coming in getting their shit, except
there's no really, like, logical reason for anyone to need more guns. There's a lot of guns in this state. I mean, if there's one thing I do know is if, like, everyone does start going down and I need anything, there'll be lots of guns and toilet paper in my local area.
Here's the thing, though. You've escalated the situation needlessly by, adding weapons into the situation.
John, we're Americans. Escalation is where we are fucking gods, okay? Listen, if there's a problem... We'll make it better or worse.
Like,
depends.
I told a couple family, like, I was talking to my sister and my cousins because we were all going to plan to get together. And we, of course, kind of got to a point over the last couple weeks where we were like, yeah, we don't need to be exposing grandma and the kids and me and, you know, it's airports. And so, like, we got in touch with the people and we were able to do the thing. And Delta's going to give me credit for my travels, which I can use tickets to the East Coast anytime because I have all you guys that I can visit, so it's no big deal, and they're letting me change them till next February. And it was a really simple thing that took the four of us like 24 hours to go, okay, these people will probably be reasonable and we still want to do this, so we're just going to postpone it.
Yeah.
And then, that's not how everybody else is reacting. It's like, it was just like, okay, have a nice conversation, take care of it, no problem, we'll refund you, have a great time, don't die in the virus thing. But that was it. It was just that simple. It's like, you don't need to raid the stores and you don't need to go, I felt no inclination to go buying weapons.
No, I mean...
I don't even know what constitute weapon you could buy. I mean, I don't know. I guess
I've got swords in the house already, so what else do I really need?
I mean, I could get steak knives, I guess.
I don't know, John. You go down to some of those flea markets. You might be able to find yourself some Nazi daggers or some shit.
Well, I mean, I do live in the country that, you know, specializes in improvised weaponry. Like the IRA making bombs out of gas cylinders. But,
got demolitions. We've got arms.
I forgot to bring my knife with me today when I went for a walk, so I bought a bunch of apples that I couldn't feed the horses, and that's a real struggle, because, you know, I mean, I had them, and the horses were there,
But look, the last time you ever see a horse, so you had to share.
Pretty sure I'll see horses again, Mel.
Goodbye, horses. The coronavirus running wild. Oh, goodbye, horses.
I want to tell you guys about something actually scary that occurred to me today. I had a dream, and I think I had a very intense dream. Okay, where at the end of it, I was stabbed in the foot, and I felt the most intense pain in my foot as a result. Like, I really felt like I'd been stabbed in the foot. And I woke up and I was just there going, I hate human physiology. Why does my brain turn on the right pains when I've just been dreaming? The fact that I was And I don't mean to make, I'm pretty sure this is what was going on. I think the fact that I had fucking smashed fucking Freddy Krueger in the face or something with a fucking iron bar 5 minutes before, some monster in my dream, and I was beating it up, I was there going, my brain should know that in the real world, I could never beat anybody up. it's just not gonna happen. Yeah, I woke up, I felt like my foot was sore for like 20 minutes. Yeah, and I was like, I'm so glad I'm not somebody who believes in ghosts or something like that, because I'm possessed, guys, it's over.
A ghost stabbed me in the foot with a ghost knife.
I thought that story was gonna end, and then I woke up and I was eating my foot, like.
I woke up and Kurt Angle's ghost had me in an ankle lock. A needle into my foot, and he said, ghost rights. And I was like, oh, well. But no, it was the thing where I woke up and I just kind of, I hobbled around for a few minutes because my foot was still convinced that it had been stabbed with a needle in the arch. Ooh. It was fucking really painful. Yeah. It's like a couple of weeks ago, I had a toothache, and I had no painkillers, so I lay down in bed, and I was there going, you know what I'm going to do? Is I'm going to try and just focus all my mind on something else, and then the pain might go away. And I did it. I just listened to, like, the sound of a train running, and I focused on the idea of the train for so long, the pain just disappeared. And it's just like, how much of pain and agony is just mental? You know, like,
all
no matter...
of it, actually, technically, it all comes from your brain.
It's just crazy, though, the way that it's, like, it's located in the spot, in the proper spot, you know?
You probably had, like, a foot cramp. Like, you probably had, like, a really bad foot cramp and your brain started dreaming around it.
Mm-hmm.
It was so fucked. I literally felt the thing go in and stay in. And I remember I woke up kicking away because I felt like I was being held in, like, an ankle lock and being injected by somebody. And again, I'm really glad I'm not like a person who thinks that they're poltergeists or whatever, because there aren't.
this is how we lost John. Next, he's going to start doing yoga, and then he's going to change his name, and it's going to be some weird fucking holistic cult bullshit. God,
he's
going to
be like, yep. Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop subscriber.
Well, absolutely.
Oh, man, cults. Cults are taking a big hit in this coronavirus. You can't get people together. I mean, unless they're cults that are denying it's real, because they're probably on the rise.
Well, I mean, it's going to be really hard to source the right rocks to stick up your cunt at this point. Like, you know.
Yeah, if they come from China, they could have coronavirus on them. That's where all the jade is, right? So if you're getting your jade egg, it's coming from China. You don't want that.
It's
been really hard to praise Satan appropriately the last few days. It really has. Like, you know, you can't
praise Satan in any setting.
Yeah, but not appropriately. Like, you know, where am I going to get the goats now? Like, oh, it's okay, just...
Goats don't carry corona. I think you're okay.
Yeah, but the farms are shut down,
Keith.
He can't
go get them. He has to...
Wait, so the bars are open, but the farms are shut down?
The bars will always be the last... Bars?
Not here.
Did you see bars the beaches here down in Florida? The freaking...
Hang on. I said the last thing, not impossible. Everything's closed where you are. That's the thing.
Yes.
Yeah, but the bars, I'm sure, were the last thing to shut their doors.
No, our bars are closed. Our restaurants are closed for delivery and takeout only.
I'm normally...
Mine are now, too.
All of it.
We're not even... I don't think we're even doing takeout. Basically, I found out we were shut down Monday. Sunday night, I did okay. I did pretty good for a Sunday. Not as good as I normally do. But I got lucky. And Monday found out we were just closed because we had to be. And they were like, oh, we're going to do delivery and takeout. We'll pay someone $5 an hour to do delivery. Like, you're going to drive around your own freaking car for five an hour? I'm sorry. Not a good offer. Nope. But what they did do is, I'm guessing they're not doing that at all, because today my coworker went and picked it up for me because they messaged me and told me about it. They were basically, I guess, cooking off all their food and giving out family meals to everybody who worked there.
That's
so,
the nicest thing you can do in this type of circumstance.
It's like the least thing they can do, but it is one of the nicest things they can do, because a lot of places would just throw that all away. So my one coworker went and like picked up a bunch of food and brought it by because she was already going over. So why have, like, because she was doing it for another person who lives near me. So it's like, why have three of us leave the or two of us even leave the house? So I got to talk with her, and like, I don't know how long I'll be out of work. I haven't been able to file unemployment because the website keeps crashing.
No one does yet. This is kind of the thing. Hours are still afloat because the owners are frantically trying to figure out, hey, how fucking far does that act of God policy we have in our insurance actually pay our staff? Because, like, this is, like, that's basically everybody's flooding to be like, well, okay, this, that, and everything else is in effect in the U.S. to try to get people paid when they're being forced to not be able to fucking work. But nothing's been ratified yet. So yeah, it's literally
on these bills.
Everyone's here just kind of doing the old Three Stooges.
It's like literally as we speak. Yeah, like I want to do the unemployment to get that and maybe whatever check Trump wants to fucking send me, you know? But I don't know if I can get both or whatever, but it's a lot of the waiting. Yeah, everything's just like
your unemployment
it's a wait.
State run, right?
Yeah,
separate. Usually your unemployment and the government checks are totally separate. Like Bob got his unemployment.
The problem is nobody can get through the website.
No,
right
I
now.
Know that because everybody's
trying
to
get through
the I mean, as of a few hours, like an hour ago, I went on the website and Ford just shut down their North American operations. So I don't expect this state to stay open much longer because if the big three are shutting down, and right now UAW is having a tiff with them because there's a bunch of exposed people at the warehouses that they basically knew about. So now we've got the UAW, which is the auto workers union. So you got the biggest union in the country and the big three looking at closing things down right now, and if that happens, there's not going to be any reason to have anything open here. You know what I'm saying? That's
here.
Everybody's income is somehow linked to that.
Here on the East Coast, Boston, as of 2 days ago, done.
We're
closed.
Talking about shelter in place in New York.
Yeah, well, that's New York. Done. Washington D.C. done. So like the real thing that like here in little shitburg USA East Coast, we can't get or ship anything because the main hubs of commerce have now closed for the next 2 to 3 months minimum. Who knows? You know when it opens up. So literally, we're sitting there, and again, we have what the fuck is that? The French term for act of God policy? God damn it, I forget what
force
it's called.
Force majeure.
Force majeure. Thank you. So, like, force majeure is just across the board happening, but especially with, like, our company, it ratifies the customer of their responsibility to pay, too, and there's no real reason why they would need to take up the contract again, you know what I mean? So, literally, as of right now of me speaking, everything, both professional and personal, is in limbo. Like, and...
Can I tell you guys a joke that I told the other day?
Please, the world needs one.
When people were talking about the toilet paper thing, everyone was going, oh, what are we going to do? Like, if this thing, whatever. And I said, guys, it's an artificial shortage. Don't worry about it. And then I stood up and went, anyway, I know what I'm going to do. And they're like, what? I said, I'm going to go down to the fucking takeaway tonight and go, hey, man, can I get some chicken nuggets and 10,000 napkins there?
I'm an adopter of the three shell method, thank you, but that's a good idea as well.
One of my favorite memes this week was actually a politically charged meme of, if you're worried about losing or not having toilet paper, there are hundreds of thousands of used copies of Atlas Shrugged in bookstores all over. I was like... Okay.
Ow.
Fair
Ow.
Enough.
Hey, man. Some of the softest, lightest paper out there is Bible paper. So, I mean, that'll flush real easy.
Yeah, but them gilded edges will cut you up, dude. Don't
Confederate flags. There's tons of those around here.
There you go.
I'm not worried about it, though, again, because I know that most of the people here, like, we have a high instance of people, like, calling 911 when chicken nuggets run out. That happens a lot around this part of the country. Oh, yeah, man. No, it's crazy. We had a guy kill himself driving on 94 because he was watching porn in traffic.
Oh my God. Yes. That'll
yeah. Happen. Oh, no, it's crazy. Detroit is, like, the wildest.
That's it. How do you even get to that point?
Yeah, like, that's a fetish, man. Like, that's an addiction and a fetish. Like,
I can't believe I'm talking to a bunch of prudes. What do you mean, how do you get to that point? You know, I mean, I've
could
never
jack
done
off
it.
Could doing 70 on the freeway, Matt? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, I guess you could
jack off and drive, but this is like watching the porn.
I mean, I'm no coward, but at the same time, that's what I wanted to say. It's like, you know what, Mel? You try climaxing while doing 70 in a fucking 16-wheeler and see how easy you can.
Why is that
something? I can't even reach the pedals, okay?
I've never had an orgasm that couldn't have waited 10 minutes.
Thank you!
Like,
that's not true!
No, it is. It is
true. It's very true. I'm with John here.
It's like, here's, no. I'll tell you from experience. I'm about to speak on my most informed topic.
Yeah,
okay. All women secretly want to get caught having sex, okay? That's something I've found to be true. And I'll be honest with you, I put the kibosh on a number of times. They're going, you know what my fetish is? Lying in bed and going to sleep straight afterwards. Hey, my fetish is actually maybe not even having sex at all. Maybe I'll just watch some FMW matches on YouTube and have a burger.
You've never done something questionably dubious at best. No,
oh, of course I have. I mean, but what I'm saying is that I've never been in control of a vehicle and went, oh man, this.
Okay.
Has to come out right now, alright? That's just madness.
But, John, have you ever had a vehicle?
Yeah.
Okay, fuck. Alright, no, well, there goes my theory.
That was a solid try, though, considering.
I needed to get to the bottom of this. I wanted to know if he's actually committed to what he's seeing or he's just never been tested. But, alright, there we go.
I'm trying to think of, like, what vehicles he would have, like a bike or...
When I was a teenager...
Power wheels.
Certainly, probably the thought would cross my mind to be, you know, you'd see like an ad for a bra as you were walking through the town square and go, maybe I could just whip it out right now and get it done by the time I cross the square. You know, I mean, that was just too much tit for my little fucking 15-year-old brain to handle.
I'm just saying, I've never jerked off while driving before, ever. But I have watched porn while driving before. I'm not going to sit here and lie about that. That has happened. And yes, the thought has crossed my mind. It's dark. It's a traffic jam.
Okay. But you're talking about in traffic. What? No, I caught up with you guys. Uh-oh. I was behind frozen. You. It's
the coronavirus has gone to Mel's computer.
Fuck.
The first.
Oh, she's coming back. But look, if anyone here has it, it's me. I've been working in food service for the last year. If anyone's been close enough to get it, it's me.
I went to a casino 20 minutes outside of Boston Saturday.
It was Bob Gurk has of all the, I mean, he's a salesman sitting in a tiny lobby.
Friday
it
night.
Is, you know what? I got to say this, though, before we go any further, because the whole thing, and it's like what I was telling everybody, it's like, if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. I mean, there is sort of a... It's just such a pain in the ass what's going on with general public.
You know what's great? You know when you get home from a long day outside and you just, you know, you throw your hands under the tap, you throw some soap on there, wash your hands, and then just lock yourself into a quiet, dark room where nobody can see you, and then give your face a good old touch. You know, just like really get your palm into your face there.
Oh, dude, no, I go home and like rub your eyes.
Because I have been like out in public where like I'll touch like a I'll press a button at a fucking road crossing or use an ATM or whatever, and you go, well, those are clearly hotspots. Like, this is where every fucking, you know, pudge pod prick in the fucking town is pressing these buttons all the time. I need to go home and I need to go somewhere and scrub the fucking filth off myself because I don't trust other people. Then when I get home, you know, I push everything out the airlock and then I just give my face a good touch.
Yeah. It's so funny because I've worked with, my background is I played sports in camp. I taught kids doing sports. And then we worked in the restaurant industry. And we were, I mean, our health inspector used to eat at our restaurant. So we were pretty cool. I mean, so a lot of this stuff, like I didn't have to go running out for hand sanitizer and all these other things because I instinctively almost see a sink with hand wash there and do it just because it's been going on for such a long time in my life that it's become part of my habit and routine. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm not glad that people are being aware of that, though, because that's not how it generally goes with people.
Did the health inspector watch porn while he was looking through your...
No, never once.
You don't know that.
Pizza
porn. You don't know that.
No, I do. We had a tiny thing. You could see everything that was going on from the kitchen, Matt.
Did he ever visit the bathroom?
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. There were people, like, people sat down at a table and, like, I, you know, greeted them and got them drinks, and the one guy was like... All right, time to do my mandatory hand washing, and got up to go to the bathroom. And in my head, I'm just like, you should just be doing that fucking normally. It doesn't have, it's always mandatory. Like, I mean, it's the nice thing. I really hope everybody remembers when this all happened and they were able to do it. Cause it's astounding how many things are getting done now that I'm like, this, the one big one, I keep bringing this up to people and I'm like, well, that being one that most people going to work, they don't need to leave the house to do it. Two, the MTA being like, we're you're now cleaning the subways and disinfecting twice a day. And it's like,
why weren't you doing
that? You should have already been fucking doing that.
Yeah,
and those are jobs. Like, you talk
you
about
know.
Having jobs. I know, but like, if you have the money, which I'm guessing you some hopefully do, like, I don't understand what's going on. It's just, you know, this is further proof that our corporations are floated by the government and they get socialism, but we don't. When we're in danger, we get like spat on. And when a corporation's in danger, they toss a bunch of money at it to hopefully keep the economy up, which has nothing to do with your day-to-day person. You know, all the people crying over the stock market, I'm sorry you put money into a gambling. Like, it's no different than fucking Bitcoin. Like, you've gambled on something and now you're losing. And I'm sorry, but maybe don't gamble. You
yeah,
know?
You
like,
can't that's... use your stocks to buy meth and child pornography.
Yeah, that's like, unless, you're wrong.
Your stocks aren't going to buy you a gun to shoot their neighbor for their toilet paper or something. Wow. You know? But guys, did you hear? I don't know if you heard this one yet or not. Did you hear about Chuck Norris getting the coronavirus?
Yeah, I heard it gave up.
Yeah, the coronavirus is in quarantine for 14 days.
Yeah.
It's I said to Mel, I heard Okada got the coronavirus and he looked like he was gonna die for 59 minutes before coming back. I told Mel also that Tanahashi was suspected to have it, but someone sneezed near him and he was just selling. And his symptoms were 50% worse than someone who actually
Oh, that's good.
I've seen pictures of Minoru Suzuki walk, you know, like on the internet where he's like still going to work. I was going, there's the only old man in the world who's not afraid of this.
Yeah.
It's just like,
don't strangle the fucking coronavirus.
It was weird, though. There were, like, people coming in over 60. Like, a lot of our clientele is older. So, like, starting last Friday, our business started dipping, like, hard. Like, I made, like, $32 last Friday. But then to see people on Sunday, I was off on Saturday for a party that got canceled. But Sunday I was in, and, like, there were people coming in who were, like, way too old. And, like, a woman I'm working with is over 60 years old and a server. And, like, she's coming into work because she has to. And it's like, yeah, and now it's like, oh, cool, your job's gone. Have some food. You know what I mean? Like, it's
everything,
and she's been with them. She's been with
so
them for
much.
Like 3 to 4 years. You know what I mean? She's been with that company a very long time. And to just be shown the door like this to all of us is just so unfair based on this happening. It's like, cool, thanks for the food. I appreciate it. It's a really nice thing to do, but it's also literally the least thing you can do as a company run by a man who opened a branch in Florida because it's near the house he owns. You know what I mean? The guy who literally like paid out an area somewhere in Ireland, I think, like he rented out a street or something to propose to his wife there and get photos or some shit because his name's Dave McGrogan. I'm guessing that sounds.
If he just went at 8 a.m, it would have been empty anyway.
Yeah, but he's a rich guy. He's got to show off. He's showing off. You know what I mean?
Well,
so
I mean,
like,
he's that reckless with his money. Probably doesn't have much left in the fucking.
Well, it's you know, I really don't care about
or
being honest here because right now. Right now, at this point, I'm technically, like, let go from my job.
Yeah.
So I really don't care about what I say on here. Not that anybody hears it anyway. No, this guy used to be a chiropractor who owned multiple branches, became a motivational speaker, sold off all those branches, and then went into restaurant.
Oh,
so as
hero.
Far as I can tell, he's just a huckster. He just goes to whatever he thinks he can make money on. He doesn't have passion for anything, really. He has a passion for money. And that's even what my manager was saying when last week people were like, are we going to close? And my one manager was like, nah. He goes, you know what Dave McGrogan loves? He puts his fingers up and does the money thing, rubbing his fingers together. I was like, yeah, dude, he doesn't care about us. He doesn't have to come out here and work. But apparently he was there today at the restaurant when they were giving out food. So, like, I guess he cares enough. But, like, how about a check, bro? How about you give, like, $1,000? I'm sure that wouldn't hurt you that much to give everybody who works for you a fucking $1,000 and say,
like,
thank you so much.
Have
or something. Just something. Like, hey, I don't know if we're going to open again. Here's some money. Like, you know? Like, because he doesn't even know if we're going to open again. This could hit his wallet so hard to try to keep place open. Unless, like, he gets a rent free, you know, he could get rent freeze or something where he doesn't have to worry about that because we rent the space at the mall where we're at. We're like connected to the mall where I think we share the liquor license amongst all the restaurants. So even if the mall, which also might get sold, there was news about that 2 weeks ago, depending what they want to do with the liquor license means we might not be open. Like, this was already happening and now this is happening.
I really hope that you don't see Dan Bell walking around your mall.
Right?
Oh my god. Yeah.
If you see Dan hovering around, just like, get out of here!
Yeah. Get out. Come on. Yeah, because the mall, there's the one, have you watched his one for the Burlington Mall where there's like it's his favorite statue. It's the boy on the back of the elephant. That's
oh,
a
yeah,
fountain.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
Literally 10 minutes, 5 minutes down the road from me right now.
There's one he did in Philadelphia where he
and that back. One is closed now. That one is dead and closed.
Wait, he did one in Philadelphia and he went back to it and it was rejuvenated.
Yes, that's a gallery.
It had a, what you call it, a mannequin from the film Mannequin in it.
Yes, because that movie was filmed in Philly. It takes place in Philly. So they have the mannequin there. It used to be in another shop in like South Philly. But I guess they have it at the gallery now. They also just put a round one in there, which is one of those big amusement arcades. They put one in there, but I haven't been there yet. I haven't been able to see my girlfriend, who is immunocompromised as is, and is a performer. So now she's out of all her gigs. Yeah. And like, thankfully, like she put a post up online, like, oh, my gigs are canceled. If you feel like, you know, throwing me some money. So like her whole community has been just supporting each other, like performers are supporting performers. She's had a friend send her some money just because they're very well off. They're very awesome people too. I've met them. Total sweethearts. They've sent her some money to just be like, here, this will help you out too. You know, like this is affecting everyone, which I think is the thing everyone needs to remember if you feel anxious or scared, is that, you know, most time people feel anxious or scared, they're alone in that. Like it's because they feel alone in the way they feel. And this is a moment where we are all sharing this. This is like one time in history in our lives, we are all across the planet feeling the same way right now. We are so connected, you know, and we weren't here first. Those little bugs that are fucking with us, they were here first, man. And they're showing us right now that they were
well,
here
not,
first.
Well, not this one. This one's being a dickhead. But
on Keith's point about the performer thing? Because so many of my friends' family are Ren Faire performers.
And our passion for wrestlers here, too, as well. They're also
right. And I've been watching as many of the, like, No Fan Monday with Bea Priestley and fucking Will Ospreay wrestling each other was one of the best things that it's made me. That made me feel the best I've felt since this whole thing started.
Well, in my head, I was there going, yeah, I was just talking about Minoru Suzuki a few minutes ago. He'll die of old age. And when the doctors do an autopsy on him, they go, this man has had AIDS for 60 years. he's just so tough. It never shows.
Oh, my God.
They're like, his spine isn't connected. Like, he just wills himself out.
I think the thing that sucks about it, Mel, too, is, like, you know, the Ren Faire performers, the wrestlers, like, all of these people who do these things and are mostly underpaid for it most of the time. Like, now everyone's realizing how important they are, too.
Yes, someone made a comment today on my timeline about, you know, all these people, all I see people saying while they're in quarantine is how they're going to binge on comic books and movies and TV shows and all these art things that they haven't had time to do. And it's pretty cool. I mean, what I'll say, like, they called off the Bay Area Ren Festival down in Florida. They were trying to go on. But a lot of my friends that come to Murph, they work down there too. And so that's like their income for this part of the year, just gone. So we've started, actually, there's foundations. There's one called Rescue, RESCU. It's for performers at fairs and festivals. And if you donate to them, that's great. We have a group going, the Michigan Renaissance Fan Group, started a subgroup to help the performers out. And also one of my friends who's a vendor started a vendor group. And we've been sharing, like, you know, we're like, introduce yourself, tell us what you do, let's, you know, if someone can buy your pottery or your garb or whatever thing it is that you bring to fair that you're missing out on. And I've seen some people, you know, it's like, I don't have a lot, but I can spend that $10 on that, you know, keychain thing that goes with my garb that I've been looking at every season, and now's the time. So it is reassuring to know that that is out there, and that those communities that you've been forming for however many years you've been there, 10 years, 5 years, it's making a difference.
So, obviously, the first thing that I saw that was basically my local wrestling promotion was going to go out of business. Ironically, and I'll say this because I'm leaving my job at the end of the month, I was just going to fucking call in sick so I could go to that show. Irony of ironies.
Anyway,
I just had a pandemic, and I'll be honest with you, how the irony itself didn't kill me, I don't know. But it's
a fucking show called out on you.
It's it was just the whole thing though, where I had word through various channels that they were in serious trouble, and other people just assumed they were going to be in serious trouble. So a bunch of people were just started going, we need to donate our money so once this bullshit's over, we still have wrestling. So everybody's refunds has essentially gone back to the company, and people have bought all their merch.
Oh, man, that's going to be the thing, too, is when this is all over, there's just going to be a surge of people going out to do stuff, too.
Oh, man, like, people are going to be kind of the nice fucking, thing. Right? There's going to be serious fucking going on, right? Yeah. Bars are going to be full. There's going to be fucking raves everywhere.
Everything will be full.
You know? There's just going to be, like, raves, and there's going to be, like, two lads chopping each other in the middle of this. There's going to be, like,
it's going to be nuts. It'll be great when it happens, because it's going to happen eventually.
It's,
the human race has been through so much worse that we'll be fine.
Oh, no, this is the thing, though. The current quarantine we're in at the moment, the reason it's here is because we know enough to take care of this. It's not, like, it could get way worse. And it wouldn't be as bad as, say, an outbreak of, I don't know, bonitis. Right, it's not like, you know, it's not like you get it and you die. You get it and you're sick for a while.
My one regret, not curing phonitis.
Yeah, and sadly, if you are an at-risk person, it can't kill you too.
But that's it. Like, for the majority of people, it won't affect them. It's that we need to actually do this so that it doesn't kill everybody else.
Yeah,
and it doesn't, like, spend more time than it needs to in the population evolving, because viruses love to do that shit.
It's crazy. With yesterday, there was a news broadcast where the Taoiseach went on TV and basically told everybody what was going on. And he was like, I have no love for Leo Varadkar or his political party, but I loved his speech, because he basically went out and went, hey, here's how I feel about it. Here's why I'm qualified to say it. He didn't have to say it, but he basically went, I'm a doctor. My husband is a doctor. My sisters are doctors. My father's a doctor. This is why I'm taking this seriously. It's one of those things where, like, at the end of it, I was there going, yeah, you know what? I do not support the man politically whatsoever, but now is not the time for politics. He's like,
now wasn't the time for partying, but people still did this weekend.
But it's a case where
Ireland is. I love the idea.
I'm just waiting for my turn, but continue.
I just the idea of John's
waiting
country,
for your
country people in John's area that believe that, like, martial law or something is going to happen in Ireland. I'm like, I can't imagine ever thinking that in Ireland now.
There's not enough fucking police or army to do it.
Dude, that was
such
the
a
first
funny concept to me where you were like, some of my people, my friends thought this, and I'm like, how can anyone in Ireland think that?
I think that in America, when people are like, they're going to impose martial law. And in my head, I'm going, that scene from The Warriors opening just, like, replays in my head. And I'm just like, they can't, man. They literally couldn't stop us. If a wave of people came at them, they're I don't care about their automatic weapon. They're not going to fucking stop us.
They are pretty dumb.
60,000 soldiers. There ain't but 300 police in the whole town. Can you dig it? You know, like, who knows? I don't want it to get to that. I want to hang out and play my video games.
Just to warn you, Keith, all right? There's going to be a remake of The Warriors soon. And
I saw a weird trailer. I don't know if it's real or not, or it was a fan trailer, but it didn't look terrible.
Cyrus is going to get up there. Cyrus, that's who it is, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I see where you're going. Okay, continue.
That's his name, isn't it, Cyrus?
Yeah, Cyrus.
Cyrus is going to get up there and go, there's 600,000 of us and 300,000 evil, degenerate white men in this city that we need to stop.
We've got to get the white man. He's the most evil thing right now. White women, they get a pass because they're women. They certainly could never be evil.
Oh, man.
I love the idea.
Great representation anywhere. Just shove a woman in. It's fine. Sarah Palin's a woman.
I love the idea of somebody getting a cell culture of the coronavirus, putting it under a microscope, and it's just little Richard Nixon faces floating in the fucking petri dish. Oh, it's not now.
Just Martin Luther's face.
I mean, yeah, but what names have you guys heard? Because there's a boomer remover, I've heard, as a name for the coronavirus.
Would stop that. The one that I don't like very much because it's kind of racist, but I guess I'll say it because it's sidecast, is the, what is it, the Kung Flu?
Yeah. No, mine is all, the other one is Senior Cleaner.
Boomer Be Gone, I heard.
Boomer Be Gone, that's a good one. Hey, so this is how we cope, guys. This is how we cope.
So I partied all weekend. I just want to go on record after everyone's just been shitting on the idea for the past fucking...
I can't, though. I literally cannot do it. I am immune compromised. It sucks. Like, even those are my, like, things that I get out of the house for. I can't go to the market right now. I can't, I mean, it's such a...
I took, first of all, it was my mom's birthday Saturday. I took my 55-year-old mother and my 80-year-old grandmother to a casino Saturday.
America.
They're fine, by the way, in case anybody was wondering.
How do you know?
Because it's been more than 5 days and nobody's showing symptoms.
14 days, is it?
Well, whatever, Mel. If they die, I guess I'm going to hell. All right?
There is no hell, so good on you.
It's nothing about them. Just like, well, I guess I'm going to pay for it, huh? Like it's
all your good. Fault, Bet. They didn't have any agency of their own to say that they were going to go out with you also.
They also could just not have gone. Yeah, totally. That's what I think with everything. It was just
here's my thought process. Yeah. If I have to go to work and expose my fucking neck to every made-in-China piece of shit material that comes through.
Metal.
I have worked with longshoremen. I have worked with shippers, okay? Listen, I am as exposed as I'm going to be, and my uncle, who flew up here to visit, works for the airline industry. So guess what? We're already the perfect storm of contaminant. We may as well be out in public, because you know what? We're it. Now, to be fair, all jokes aside, of course we were cautious. We had fucking hand sanitizer, we had sanitary wipes, and we didn't go to some place that looked sketchy, okay? Like, the thing was, Friday happened.
Take precautions, you're okay.
Yes.
It's like, you shouldn't, but also.
Look, Friday, I get
people's lives to live. Even my girlfriend was like, I'm going to go to my friends, they're going to pick me up. And I was like, look, it's your life to live. I'm not going to tell you what to fucking do right now. You go do what you want, but either way, I'm going
to
work.
Keith, come on, that's what she wants. Okay, she wants you to tell her how to live. All women want to be dominated.
Yes, of course.
You know, like, that's what the Bible tells us. I mean, are you going to argue with Jesus?
Yeah, I mean, yes, my very progressive, female-empowered, cabaret singing girlfriend whose whole act revolves around modern-day sort of stuff. Her gimmick?
That's her gimmick.
Yeah,
it's all really work, but, like, that's almost like
John
kind
just
of her...
said so.
Oh, no, not like that. God damn it.
I want to, apparently we all want to, okay.
Look, tell you what she really wants.
It's a cry for domination. I get it.
I'll tell you what she really wants. She wants you to turn up, all right, with a load of beer and Ted Nugent vinyls, all right? And she wants you to...
I mean, she'd be down for the good beer. down for that.
And she wants you to put the shit on and then just fucking, when she tries to offer an opinion, you just turn around and go, fucking bitch, I swear to fucking God. Yeah. Right? Because here's the one thing that, like, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, I bring home the Nugent albums and the beer, and she goes, are those, she goes, oh, you brought beer home. I go, I don't know where yours is.
You know what the worst thing about Ted Nugent is? Some of his songs are great.
Yeah, he used to be cool.
I was going to say he's still alive.
I'm like, of course John can narrow it down. I'm like, I got
to
hear it.
No, he was. Cool.
No, I gotcha.
I liked his crazy VH1 show. I used to watch that. That was fun. I used to watch that. That was kind of before, like, George W. Bush and everyone realized what a weird right-wing guy he was.
To be fair, I don't think it should have been a shock to anybody considering how...
No, it shouldn't have been, but...
But Ted Nugent is a fucking moron, but he can play guitar. He is a really good guitar player.
Yes.
You know, if he was in somebody else's band and never opened his mouth, the world would be a better place.
Wasn't he in Damn Yankees? Was he one of the guys in that?
Yeah,
wasn't he? Yeah. Can you take me high enough? I think that was 30 years ago, actually, pretty recently.
Keith, I've never met, and nor do I know your girlfriend, but I do know a thing or two about translations, and every time I hear the words proud, independent, feminist, what I'm actually hearing translated is harder daddy, and I think that is just...
I would only say, from our experiences...
Okay.
No, I don't want to make you feel bad. I won't say anything. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. I've known women... All right. I know what
hey, no, here's the thing. Right? Here's the great thing about her, though. She said to me the other day, she's like, Keith, I do like to have like one beer a day. And I'm like, that's cool. You like to have one beer a day? Like, fucking go for it. Like, that's great.
I tell you, women need to be, like, they like to be told where to get off, right? And that's why I always say, I go, listen, as far as I'm concerned, when I'm around, or as far as you're concerned, when I'm around, it's Vader time all the time. All right. And I am strong style or nothing, right? We don't, there's no fucking, we're not working soft here, right? There's not going to be any candles, just chops and fucking.
Yeah. Oh, give her the old tornado DDT, you know what I'm saying? Off the top bedpost.
It's, I remember, like, I told you guys before, but, like, the first time, like, I don't know why people are into what they're into, right? But whatever. And, like, I remember the first time I was asked to choke somebody, and I was just there going, like, Piper?
Cross-faced chicken wing? You want, like some Bob Backlund action?
I can put you into sharpshooter?
You know. John, I think you might have a problem, sir.
John has had wrestling brain for most of his life. We know what his problem is. Oh, it's called wrestling brain. It's where you literally can take any situation and relate it back to wrestling.
Uh-huh. It's
most things can be related back to it.
It's not really a problem. It's literally just John sees what
it's a problem
that is always there. He's just seeing what no one else sees. It's there. We just don't see it.
Here's the thing.
Total everything, problem.
Everything is a work. All right.
Yes.
The whole world is a big fucking work, and you either get smartened up or you're a fucking mark, and that's kind of the way the world is.
And that's the bottom line.
I was watching Armageddon 99 there yesterday.
Oh, yes. Of course you were.
Because
it's just a pro wrestling movie, basically. It's a pro wrestling angle. Yeah,
it's not. It's way better than Armageddon 97, the movie with Bruce Willis and all that. But as I was watching it, there was a women's four-way evening gown match for the title in a pool where all these women wore evening gowns and got in a swimming pool. And I've heard the joke said before, they were going, I guess that's Vince's very specific fetish.
Yes. Yeah, it sounds like it. Wet evening gowns.
But I was watching.
It all goes back. You'll see, this all goes back to when Vince was a young boy attending a party with his parents, and his mother spilled the punch bowl all over herself in her evening gown. His young brain did not know how to comprehend this, and it has extended into his adult life, where he finds a fascination with his mother's body in a wet evening gown and projects this onto other women. Thank you.
I instantly believe that that's the actual story.
Vince grew up in a trailer park, so he didn't grow up rich.
At a neighborhood barbecue, his mother got really drunk and smashed two cans of beer over her head and poured some down her evening gown. It was actually her wedding dress. It was her only fancy clothes. It was a fancy barbecue. Therefore, she had to wear the wedding dress. She drenched herself in two beers. There we see the birth of Stone Cold Steve Austin and also the wet evening gown match.
Oh, my God. Was he in love with Austin all along?
Oh, God, yeah, totally. He loved that boy.
Vince thinks he is Austin.
I think so.
What do you mean, John?
I made you. I am you.
I am you, Austin. Every day when I look in the mirror, dick in my left hand, volume controller on my right.
It's, like, the thing, when I went back and watched that show, it was
Shatter the glass harder!
But the thing that struck me was, again, the women were in this thing. This is for the belt. This is for the WWF women's title. It was a stripper match. And at the end of it, the cat won, Stacy Carter, and she actually for real got her tits out. And it was a culture shock, to be honest with you. I was like, this is like Quantum Leap when Sam goes back to when racism was out in the open. But it was fucking bizarre. Like, it was entertaining as shit to watch, like the whole show was. And I forgot how funny Jerry Lawler used to be. Like, he was such a fucking immature idiot.
He was a teenage boy. He was just playing a teenage boy.
Like, Jim Ross said, he goes, oh, look at this guy, Val Venus out here, making some kind of penis innuendo. And Jerry Lawler just goes, holy shit, you said penis, and laughed about it for 5 minutes. It's so stupid.
That was probably
That was probably genuine, too. That was probably a genuine plan.
Jim Ross.
Duty.
Jim Ross's podcast, by the way, is an underrated gem because that man is fucking hilarious. There was some, they were watching an episode of Raw, him and Conrad were, and there was like a angle with two little people. What's called, it was the whole comedy thing. And Conrad goes, and JR, whose idea was it and who found it funny to bring the little people out? And he just goes, oh, guess. Just saying it was Vince. He buries people in the funniest way. And like one of the best descriptions I ever heard where he just goes, he's talking about this guy, Klondike Bill. He used to like the dirty ladies. And he said that Klondike Bill got syphilis of the eye from having hookers sit on his face. And Ross just goes, and this is somebody he paid to do it as well. And Jim goes, and you can imagine the quality of human being involved. And as they're going, oh, that is spicy.
That's a burn. That's a fucking, that's what we like to call a southern burn. It's where like, you're not really insulting them, but like, you're literally grading them on a scale and just calling them trash without just saying they're trash.
It's also a play on the idea of purchasing sexual favors from someone and going, you can see how low budget this man's.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. That's awesome. JR.
What's funny as well is like, I love that in the current like climate of, you know, people getting fucking crucified on the internet for saying off color things. Like, I love that like Tony Khan, the guy who owns AEW, is basically like, yeah, I don't care what JR and Tony say on their personal podcasts. I listen to them. I find them funny. And if anyone's got a problem, they can just throw their bullshit out into the ether because I'm going to continue employing them because they're great on television. And it's, I don't know, it's refreshing to hear people like him in power who are just sort of going, yeah, I'm a human being, you know, and I understand that other people.
It's what we need a lot more of, man. It's what we need a lot more of.
That guy is going to be like worthy of a book. These things continue the way they are. Cause he's what he's done to change sports and bring it into the modern century with Fulham and the Jaguars and just everything. And now wrestling, which he's a huge fan of. He knows how to get butts in seats and he knows how to let the people kind of do what they need to do.
AEW went from being nothing to promoting the first 6-star match in the history of the United States in 6 months. And that tag match at Revolution was, I remember watching it going, holy shit, this is the best match in AEW since the beginning. Like, I was 20 minutes into it and I was like, okay, I think we might have the best match of the year here. It's either this or Ibushi Okada. And it's fucking nice to go, oh, I wonder if they're, like, it's nice to be sitting there watching wrestling that's not from New Japan, and you're going, whoa, this might be the best match in the world.
Was that the Bucks versus Hangman and Omega?
Yeah. Yes. Unbelievable. And what was so great about it was how fucking over Hangman Page was.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like,
took like that one promo on that one week to like, all of a sudden, like, everybody loved him again, like...
Oh, he's so great in his current character, which is the person trapped in a relationship. Like, he's trapped in a relationship with Kenny and with the Bucks, and he's there going, I'm just going to drink myself happy. And, like, he's just so believable. And, like, his gimmick is that he's essentially modern-day updated Jeff Jarrett, but he's, like, he's from Virginia or whatever, but he's got that southern cowboy look to him, which shouldn't be cool. But he fucking is cool.
Well, he's got a bit of the Austin gimmick. He's got the vest, you know, so he's got a little bit of an Austin thing when people see him. That, you know, he's drinking beer, so he's got a little bit of that, too.
He's not like Austin at all, though. That's
No, but I'm saying it looks...
No, I know what you're saying in terms of, like, eliciting the...
Where the human brain goes, where they're watching, and they go, oh, vest, beer, you know, like...
Yeah.
I feel for Hangman as well, though, when I watch his character play out, where I'm going, yeah, I get it, man. I know what it's like to be stuck in a relationship that you don't want to be in. Like, it's interesting to play. But ultimately, what I'm hoping is that the way this ends is not with, like, I really hope this ends with all four of them getting over their bullshit and just going back to be friends.
Same.
I was like, it's never happened in wrestling before, and I'd love to see it. I'd love to see people go, you know what, let's just be adults about this. Let's just get on with it.
Isn't it kind of a take on their story from New Japan, though, where, like, Cody came in and Kenny felt threatened, and then he knocked, you know, Matt kind, over. Yeah. And I mean, it's not the same thing, but it the, no, the it shades is, of it.
It's similar.
But like, it, you know, because I was saying the same thing. I was like, it'd just be great if they all, like, made up at the end and had this, like, big comeback in some, like, situation where it was, like, they all help each other. And
I'd love to see
after tonight.
But I'd love the end of this storyline for it to be the Bucks and Kenny support Hangman as he chases the world title. I'd love for them to be like, you know what, you're the man. Let's just fucking, it's your time. Go for the belt. And then he wins it.
Him Moxley would be really good.
It's Moxley's one of those guys as well where if you'd told me like 2 years ago he'd be one of my favorite wrestlers, I'd be sure going, you are a Hitler.
Yeah, but that comeback, man, like just him popping, you know, shot out of a cannon into New Japan, you know, and then right into AEW off of that, like it was his moment and he totally seized it perfectly.
Here's what you,
you
do,
know, to chase Jericho for like 8 months or something like that. It was a long, long run that he was chasing after him. So
there's a lesson learned there. If you want to get your career back on track, go and wrestle Ishii. All right, because like Moxley's the best match of his career was with Ishii in the G1 last year, and I honestly think that was the match where he went, "Oh, I get it. I get what it takes to be this wrestler now." All right,
that style of wrestler, yeah. You had to fight a guy who's the same style, who can carry that level of intimidation into a match.
I mean, he said in multiple interviews, like he'd never, like he went to New Japan and he went backstage and he was talking to Gato and before his first match with Juice, and he's like, "So what am I doing tonight?" And Gato's just like, "Why the fuck are you asking me?" Like, he's like, "Why?" He goes, "No, no, that's your job. Go out there and wrestle."
Yeah, like
and,
go talk to Juice. Go talk to Juice about what you want to do. Like, go.
And it's like when you hear about Jericho said he had that match with Tanahashi in the Tokyo Dome, and he said, "I literally walked up to him and said hi 20 minutes before we went out. That's all we talked about before we went out there." And he just went, "All right, listen, will we do this for the finish?" And Tana was like, "Yeah, cool. All right, see you in a bit." And that was it.
Like, they trust their employees. They don't need to fucking middle manage them because they know they're good at what they do, and they don't need to step in.
Because they don't have to.
It's like
let them do their job. They hire people to do a job, and then they let them do it.
Yes. On top of that, how are you going to tell Tanahashi and Jericho what to do?
Yeah, right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like they save that for the young boys, basically, I'm sure.
Like, if I opened a wrestling promotion today, right, and I had, like, Okada versus fucking Omega on top, right, I would literally just go, "Lads, who's winning?" Look, I'm just putting you out there. What's going on here? What am I going to tell you about wrestling?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, it's funny when you hear about Gato and people go, "Oh, he's the greatest booker of all time." And you're just going, "Yeah, because he knows where the line is." Like, he just goes, "Oh, yeah, okay, just do what you do. I trust you." Because
he knows who to put the people up against and knows how to trust them to give him a good match. But like, you know, it'd be a good match, you two versus each other. But it's also knowing, like, when not to have people face each other, like, how long to wait to have people. Like, just, it's all of that. He doesn't have to call shit in the ring. He's just got to call how it lines up in the end.
Well, Moxley and Lance Archer had that Texas Death match at the Tokyo Dome, which wasn't supposed to be a Texas Death match. John Moxley said, "Oh, it's going to be a Texas Death match," in a promo, and then went backstage and apologized to Gato and said, "I shouldn't have said that. It's not a gimmick match." And Gato went, "I don't care. Do whatever. Make your match stand out."
That's great. Oh, I love it.
Yeah. And he's like, really? He goes, "Yeah, I assume you know what you're doing." Like, I think Gato just worries about the title.
Yeah.
He worries the main event, and that's it.
Yeah, I do love Jake the Snake being back, like having Lance Archer as his client, but just having Jake on the mic, like, dude still has it. He can still just get on the mic and just, like, rip Cody Rhodes to shreds. Like, just
worst thing about Jake the Snake is that there's only one Jake the Snake.
That's the problem. Yeah, and he wasted what he had very early on, but I really like that he's being given the chance to be, like, a heel manager. Like, it's totally something he could still do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, it's a perfect role for him. Like, you need those senior guys in there with the young dudes still. And, like, that is one of my favorite gimmicks is the, like, silent killer beast and his announcer, his, like, manager. Like, I love, you know, ever since Paul Bearer, love that fucking gimmick. Always, like, almost always a fun gimmick. Doesn't always work, obviously.
Like, I remember like going back, like I've watched tons of Jake Roberts' work, and you're just there going, he is a perfect storm because he doesn't have a good body. He's not a great athlete, but his psychology is maxed out. Like he's 100 plus on promos, 100 plus on just, he's so much smarter than everybody else.
Yeah.
Like he.
That was his gimmick too, was that he was just, I'm just smarter than all of you. I'm just way too conniving and sneaky, and you guys will not see coming what I'm going
to
do.
He used a good gimmick.
Oh yeah, he used the medium of television, the physical medium of television to cut a promo once, where he just understood that the majority of people don't have remotes. So yeah. What he did was he started talking in a really whispery voice. And he said, and I waited 30 seconds because I realized at that point people would be after getting up to go turn the volume dial up. And he just turned to this camera and goes, I bet I got your fat ass up off the couch now, didn't I? And he started talking directly to the person on the other end. I was like, that man, he genuinely was a genius. And unfortunately, he let himself down in his prime by being a crackhead.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what's great is that he's at the other end now, and it's like, he's still got a lot to offer. There's no other Jake Roberts hiding around somewhere. Yeah. He can't get in the ring and have a match, but he can provide a unique presence still to any product. And it's funny, like, Tony Khan is like, literally, like he's like one of my friends who got to run the wrestling promotion, where he's there going, I'm going to get all of my favorite guys from New Japan, and I'm going to get Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson and Jake the Snake. And I'm just like, I'm waiting for him to, like, I don't know, fucking bring Tommy Rich and the FBI back.
Yeah, but... he'll do some shit. I mean, that's what's really great about him, too, is that, like, here's Cody Rhodes bringing these guys in and then being like, now I want you to rip me to shreds on television in the middle of the ring too. Like, I want to be like, let's do a thing with me and Lance Archer, and you get to be the guy who comes out here and just like makes me like talk shit to me. Like, it's great to like hire someone and then be like, all right, rip me to shreds. Like, that's awesome. Like, I love that humbleness, you know, like Vince McMahon would get embarrassed on TV and stuff like that. But like, you know, he always came out, you know, in the end being, you know, either a face a couple months later or whatever. So who knows where this will go, but yeah, it's exciting. I want to ask Matt before we just one more What's thing. Up? Are we going, what you think of Death Triangle? How do you feel about that new, trios?
In all honesty, I know nothing about it, to be completely honest with you, because he's been a little distracted, what with taking my elderly, you know, mother and grandmother out to near-death experiences and being horrible for them.
The clue, Matt, is that it's got another name, which is Triangle della Morte.
Yeah, I figured as much. I know it's, okay, so Phoenix, it's Junior, and who else is joining the trio?
Pac is the
third guy. Pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, like, Hawk's the leader of the trio, basically.
Pretty fucking awesome. I have seen Pentagon's new Venom mask, which I thought was pretty sick. But, like, to be completely honest with you, I haven't watched wrestling in weeks.
When they came out and said we're the Death Triangle, I was there going, you could have just called yourselves, we're Work Race. Every time I see Phoenix on TV, though, I'm just like, this guy is so fucking spectacular. Like, he's so spectacular that I worry for him every time he wrestles.
Yeah,
like,
right.
When he does those topes to the outside, he looks like he's trying to kill the guy he's hitting, or himself.
He's a risk taker. Always has been, man.
Yeah, he knows how to move his weight.
I'm so glad they're getting the play that they're getting and that people are loving them as much. And I mean,
understand this. I'm glad that it's not possible for Phoenix to wrestle Takahashi, okay? Because
don't ruin his beautiful face.
Oh, they'll kill each other.
They'll kill each other. That's like worse than Naito and Ibushi.
Like, fucking Dragon Lee and Takahashi, when they get in the ring,
it is
the Thelma and Louise of wrestling. It's like these two people who clearly are in love with each other on some level, but have a mutual death wish. And it's like, like, Phoenix doesn't have that with anybody. He's the nuts one in the match, and they're going, if he finds his Hiromu, we're done. Like,
wow, I never thought of that until you said it, but Jesus Christ, you're not wrong. He'd be spectacular and terrifying all at the same time.
Like, Pentagon is a very smart wrestler. He gets a lot out of a little. Fénix is just like, 15,000 people, 15 people. I'm jumping on the top rope, I'm flying out of the ring. I do it like he's insane. He's absolutely nuts. And I'm like, he's one of the top five wrestlers in the world. And it's an absolute fucking joy to see him getting rich as fuck. Because guys like that deserve the money that they get.
For sure.
And I told you guys I was watching that documentary with a friend of mine about the him and Pentagon. And he's there going, I hope that someday I can, you know, my son can grow up in America and I can make all this money. And as they're going, spoiler alert, that worked out.
Yeah, right.
It's turns out when you're really great, people will pay you lots of money to do what you're good at.
I remember 4 years ago seeing both of them for the very first time. And I'm like, I bet you these two are going to go far because they're just... They were too talented for where I was seeing them fighting. You know what I mean? It was like they are clearly the outstanders of this entire fucking league. And apparently I was correct in that assessment. But yeah, I'm glad the world loves them because
bringing tag team back in the best possible way.
Yes.
AEW. Thank you.
I mean, give them that.
No, the tag team wrestling in AEW is like, it's great. It's like watching some of the tag league stuff or whatever. It's so nice to have North American tag wrestling again. I thought it was hilarious. John was talking about that tag match, that best match maybe ever. I thought that it was funny that it ticked off an entire week of Dave Meltzer trying to like argue with himself as to whether it was the greatest tag team championship event in North American history or in the world. He like went around and made a playlist for himself. He was like, for 4 days, he was like obsessing over whether it was the best one ever. Wrestling nerds are hilarious.
I wouldn't mind his logic sound 80s NWA, 90s All Japan or that. I'm like going, the greatest match, tag match of all time definitely happened in one of those three eras.
Yeah.
Like, I would agree with his logic there. Anybody who's never, like, watched 90s All Japan, it's disturbing to watch in aftermath of it because of how someone of like how Misawa died. Like Misawa was decapitated. Like his neck and spine came undone from a suplex. Like, but when you go back and watch what he did, it's impossible not to be captivated by it. And what's insane about what Misawa did as well is like he wrote a letter that was sealed away in his home. And this is when, in his last like year or two, where he basically wrote, to whoever kills me in the ring, just know it's not your fault. He knew it was coming.
Yeah, but...
But the thing, like, that guy, though, like, he wasn't doing himself any favors. I believe he had a 60-a-day habit at one point. Like, you know...
That's a lot. Holy hell.
Japanese people are serious about cigarette smoking.
Mm.
And it's like Sakuraba, when he was out kicking the shit out of the Gracie family, 40 a day.
For someone who used to smoke cigarettes, like, I still smoke clothes.
I don't
now,
even know.
That's fucking madness.
That's a lot. That is fucking ton.
I've known about Gracie for like 19 minutes.
But I had a like 5 minute stint where I was like red apples a pack a day, but that was like it was like in college, my first year. It was like, you know, you're like early 20s and you're psychotic, so you're like mood chain smoking.
But hey, listen, on a lighter note,
girl music.
On a lighter note, something I want to talk about real quick, and then I got to actually bounce because of what I'm going to talk about.
Oh, okay.
So I want to recommend to anyone out there stuck at home under any kind of self-isolation, actual quarantine, some kind of lockdown or whatever, if you have some online friends and you have the ability to maybe find some basic rules online, I don't know, you may need access to the beta for this, but Space Kings is a fantastic thing to do while you're on lockdown with your friends. It's a very easy role-playing game to play via any kind of voice chat. We are literally playing through our PS4 voice chat in a party. Because all you really need is character sheets and a deck of cards and, you know, one person who knows the rules, which you can pick up very easily if you've listened to the podcast Pretend Friends. You can also look up basic rules, too, and just see how to play and pick it up from there. If you are familiar with tabletop games, you'll be able to pick up right away. But I ran my first games, or two sessions in one night, a couple weeks, maybe a month or so ago, actually, now, of it. And very successful, super fun game. Last night we played a game over voice chat, and so our other game we played has the TV show name Bounty Buds, because they're bounty hunters. This new game is just called Mayhem, is how we named it at the end. And it's just, it's our more like R-rated, edgy, like action movie, like style game. And I had to tell you about some of these characters because I know you guys will like some of them. So let's see. So one is my friend Kohler is basically playing Lord Boros, the guy One Punch Man fights at the end of One Punch Man season one, except we crossed him with Bakugo from My Hero Academia. So his explosive sweat that he uses when he punches guys and fights, and he's super fast. Decent character. How he played him was great, because he played him as the straight man who, if he wasn't fighting or there wasn't fighting going on, he was just sleeping. And I thought that was great. It led to some really funny moments. He was only interested if fighting was going on. We had Spim-Dar, who is my buddy Drew, who has like Cthulhu tentacles over his face and has like stalk eyes, and John made him as a lover of mayhem and is just like this crazy alien dude who's like sneaky and good with explosives and stuff like that. I play a Populonian, which are dog type people, and his name is Dr. Paul MD, and he's a doctor. He has a pocket full of lollipops. He also has crass knuckles, which we decided are what brass knuckles are called in the future, because it's such an old style of combat, so they're seen as crass, so they don't call them brass knuckles anymore, they're called crass knuckles.
It's just the simple stuff is always the funniest.
Exactly.
Is the slang for them relic dusters?
Yeah, sure, that's a good one. Relic dusters, I like that.
It's yours, keep it. It's yours.
Yeah,
you keep
and it. And then my friend Ricky, I think, created my favorite character I had to tell you guys about. So there's a race they mention. They must have mentioned it in an episode, because apparently it was on the wiki. He saw it. He was like, oh, I saw there's like cow people. And in my head, I'm like, I don't remember there being like cow people in the game. But we decided to call them Taurians, because Taurus, you know, they're a bull race. And I immediately thought of the cowboys of Moo Mesa and sent him a picture. It was like, do you imagine them looking kind of like this? And he was like, yeah, that's perfect. But his name is Rambovine.
Nice.
And he is just, he's Rambo, but an 8 foot tall cowman who is just super tough and super strong and has a fucking minigun strapped to his back at all times. And he was so funny. Like, we built all this lore around the Taurians as we were playing, like that they were actually cows abducted from Earth thousands of years ago, brought into space, experimented on for food, but they were given intelligence by accident when they tried to meld male and female cow people together so they could produce beef and milk, and it gave them sentience, and now they're all male and female, so they have horns, but they also have udders too.
You should call it Udder Mayhem.
Ooh. Well, he already sent a message. It was like, I'm working on a script for a movie trailer. It's for Terminator. Terminator 7, where he's trying to rescue the president of Space America from Space Force One from the evil brain of Michael Bay that still lives on.
I'm just thinking of different cow folk name.
It's great, right? Like, there's all sorts of, like, and his character was my favorite.
Dr. Brisket Hardflank is a name that just comes straight to my fucking
mind.
That's
perfect. I love it. You guys
get a kick out of this, because our terrier mix, our puppy that's like 7 months old, we call almost. It seems like it sometime. No, we call her a miniature giant space terrier.
Aw.
Like Boo. Yeah.
But my Dr.
No,
Paul.
That was too far back.
He's like big as Brian from Family Guy, but he's like a fuzzy, pointy-eared dog, white dog. Nice. But he has wit one, so he acts like a dog. Like, he's just kind of easily distracted and like
squirrel.
Yeah, Oh God, it's the best.
Squirrel.
Like he's, but he's smart. He knows his. He knows his biology. He knows his
Pathfinder
science.
Just added pug people.
That's great.
And
they
here I am with a character I can't kill no matter how hard I try. I'm like, fuck. Okay.
But besides that, if you guys ever want to play Space Kings and record it as a special episode or something, I would gladly run a game for the three of you guys.
I am so down.
Because I think it would be really funny and really fun
game
if we
that
did that.
Game
okay, before we get started.
Yeah.
I call Munoru Suzuki, okay? I am the cow Suzuki.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you could be, you'll want to take like brawn and athletics if you actually want to grapple people and wrestle them. Like brawn athletics will totally be your thing. Yeah. Okay.
I'll be Mugen Freeman. And
you don't all have to be cow people. You guys can be any kind of alien, but if
no,
be a cow guy.
No,
we more than cow can, people? Apparently.
I mean, we could all be cow people.
We
could all be cow people.
Have to be cow people.
It's
very important, okay?
Oh, shit.
But I'm going to run a game tonight. I'm running a game tonight, and people have made new characters. I don't know if they're playing their new ones or their old ones. But I got to see what the name... My buddy made a little... I'll show you guys the picture, because I'm sure you'll love it. But he made a character named Squishy McDribbles. And he is a little. Oh, you got? Can you guys? See, he's a little telepathic squid man.
Oh,
I can
cool.
see that.
Or just a squid.
That's
he's just
sweet.
A floating telepathic okay. squid. My other friend is playing a guy whose name is just Kyle, and he's a like. It says
and he's a loser.
I'm trying to show you guys the picture. Like he's just
he
this
looks like,
a
Kyle.
Blob guy with green eyes.
He
like
looks like a Kyle.
Well, it says his species. Here's what I gotta tell you. It says his species is unknown. He's from the homeworld of Xanflorp 2. But his non-useful items are mysterious battery, tablet with cord, energy extractor. I don't know what he's gonna play up with that. And then Shiv.
Oh, Lord.
I like him.
Keith, I want to tell you
that. He has Charm 1 and Presence 1, which means you don't really notice him because he's not, like, charismatic, and, like, you don't like him because he's not charming in the slightest.
But Keith, I want to tell you before you go, I sent our Matthew a letter there a couple of days ago.
He did. I want to talk about that soon, but go.
No, just, Matt, you want to tell Keith what I included in the letter for you?
Okay, so before Keith, you take off. I get a text. I'll tell the whole story.
Yeah, let's do this. Yeah, yeah. And then
I get a text.
Because I'm
going to
go run Space Kings.
I got a text from my cousin Megan at like 2 in the afternoon last Thursday, right before I played Pathfinder for my normal session. Hey, we got two pieces of mail in here. And she took a picture of it. She's like, you should come by and read it. And I'm like, well, who's it from? Because I looked at the sticker and it was clearly paid in euro. And I'm like, she's like, oh, I don't know. And I'm not telling. Like, was it John? No, it wasn't from John. And I'm like, okay. Well, so I get there, and it was totally from John. John wrote us some very, very comical and nice letters. The one he wrote to Meg was very sweet and endearing. So I'm like, oh, okay. I think John's either ready to commit suicide or this is going to be really mean-spirited. Let's open up the envelope and find out. And, John wrote me a two-page letter about telling me that, like, he felt he needed to say this, you know, in letter form, not over any social media, but that he was very disappointed in me and that I am clearly a pussy. I'm sorry, a gay pussy. And that I cry over Star Trek and that I have made my father truly ashamed and that I need to change these methods of my life. But if I can't, I have to learn to accept the fact that I am now a woman, and he enclosed some instruction on how to best survive in my new life, and those were the instructions that come inside a tampon box, in which case I can't read this out loud because the fucker sent it to a public building, and not only did all my friends and associates hear it, but all of their customers as well. So, yeah, thank you, John. That was,
No, you didn't have to read it.
Oh, yes, I did. Oh, yes, I did.
That's
Sean, you're amazing.
I believe I used the term. I said, Matthew, you are a weak-willed man who has. And I can't remember what I wrote because I put it in the envelope, but I said something to the effect of who cries a lot and who has sought love from his father, not merely his respect or something.
Yes. Those were over your... What do you mean you think you wrote... Those were your exact words.
I can't remember what I wrote. Here's the thing. I sent like 6 letters that week. And it was mainly to people I don't really talk to that often.
Yeah.
And
I feel special. Thank you.
But you were the exception because I was like, I'll send one to Meg. And then I was like going, I might as well send one to Matt as well. And I just figured I'd send it to the place. On top of that, again, there was loads of those tampon insertion guides lying around the bathrooms and work. I was going, I know someone who would appreciate this.
Well, listen, my favorite part about it is as you started, it's like, hey, Matt, just wanted to write to this to you in person. But now that I'm writing it to you and realizing how bad my handwriting is and the fact that you have dyslexia, you're probably having somebody read this to you. So I apologize to you, dear listener, who has to read this out loud. And please make sure the kids are in the other room listening to their TikTok garbage and crying out their pussies or some shit.
John, I haven't read Maddox's stuff in a long time, but you write like the modern Maddox. Like it's beautiful. It's Maddox. Prose. Do you remember the best website in the universe?
No.
He was the if you probably just look up the best website in the universe, the best web page in the universe. He was a very early like cruel satirical writer where he would write like that. Like his shit was just like about people being fucking stupid ass, like being pussies and stuff like that. But it was all with this, like, you know, comic edge to it. Like, it was just the kind of thing that someone would write in the early 2000s on the internet to be, like, sensational, I guess.
Verbally in cheek, sort of.
You know
style.
What I mean? And he's still writing stuff. Like, he has old stuff he wrote about society, even that, like, he's brought back and been like, look, I was saying this fucking 15 years ago in this joke article, you know, like his name's Maddox, M-A-D-D-O-X. I think he was the guy who wrote the, like, the Guide to Manliness or something, I think was a book he wrote that came out. I don't know if he was the alphabet of manliness. I don't know if that was him.
Was he the seven-legged spider guy?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Just think about writing a letter, and I would recommend it to anybody who has people they want to stay in touch with that they don't speak to regularly or whatever. You really feel like you've achieved something when you get to the end of it. And like I remember writing it, like a bunch of letters to a couple of different people, and I felt like I'd done something. But also my brain went, oh, why haven't they responded to me? Like, because I'm so used to getting an instant response now.
Yeah, exactly. I get that.
Well, on top of that, like, it's the idea of, like, okay, here's a thing for you. Like, I like the idea of going, here's a piece of communication I gave you that you can just hold on to, and you can throw it in the bin if you want, but you can hold on to it if you want, and, you know, it's there. It's what it was in the moment, and it'll always be that. But, what was it? Also, like, when I got a bunch of stamps, I was like, oh, cool, I get to match the stamp to the person who might enjoy it. Like, there's just little pieces of it that are fun, you know. And
doing greeting cards at Christmas and stuff. I do the exact same thing at Christmas. That'll be like a whole pad, and I'm like, ooh.
Well, there you go. Obviously, I sent you the Jeff Cobb 8x10.
I had like my best Christmas present ever was my Jeff Cobb Merry Christmas in March 8x10. It was wonderful.
I was talking to Jeff at the show, and I just went, listen, I want to get my friend an 8x10 because she always sends Christmas cards, and I never send them back. And he goes, okay. And he's like, do you want me to write Merry Christmas?
he seems like a really...
That's fucking great.
He does seem
that's
like a cool dude. Yeah, no, I love
very
it. It's
genuine
wonderful.
Dude.
Yeah.
Like, I love how he's this, like, killer monster in AEW. But he was having promos in New Japan just being this, like... He said he had some promo where he said something about himself being something like really weird in a promo way, you know, someone would try to do back in the day. Like, you're trying to break down that house, but I'll tell you what, I'm that house and I'm big. I'm a house. Like, you know, like, and it was a real funny little moment. I was like, I like this guy. He's got a sense of humor.
Well, Jeff is, He's not a very tall man, but he's the widest human on Earth. Like, he looks like if a car hit him, the car would be more damaged. Like, he's a monster. Like, but very nice guy as well. And
at first I heard you say whitest, and I went,
same.
Are you thinking of the same guy? And then my brain was like, white. I was like, widest, got it, right, yes. Because he is not white in the fucking slightest.
Well, Chris Jericho asked him about his name. He goes, you're this big bruiser from Guam. And why are you called Jeff Cobb? And he goes, my dad was white.
It's usually the answer.
It's like, what's his name? High Chief Peter Maivia. Real name, Peter Smith. It's like, yeah, his dad was from Germany.
Pop's a longshoreman, guys. What do you want from me? Leave me the fuck alone.
Oh, guys, I gotta run.
Making me think of.
All right, Keith. Have fun,
let me run. I gotta run and run some Space Kings. I'm really glad I got to talk to you guys, though. I miss you guys so much. I want to say to anyone out there listening, I hope we get this up soon enough that a lot of this is relevant, and also so you can hear us. Let you know everything's cool. We're going to keep going and doing this. I know I want to, so I hope everybody else does. No matter what kind of shit they talk about me after I leave. I know they all love me. It's just for the show. It's just for the show.
He's going to go cry now and put his tampons in.
What I really need to do, because I just, you know, you guys are just so mean. It makes me want to cry.
Go roll your dice, nerd. And also, yeah, I would love to play. Let me know when you want to do this.
Yeah. You just need a deck of cards. Just make sure you have a deck of cards in your house before you can't leave and we can play.
Easily accessible.
This is Michigan. If you don't have a deck of cards, you get tossed because you got to have it for euchre.
Plus, you can make a deck of cards pretty easily.
Yeah.
You actually can do that too. So I'll talk to you soon, guys. Have fun. And I guess listeners, look forward to a little session of Space Kings here on Sidecast.
Woo!
Later on.
Peace.
And call!
Thank God that fucking pinko was gone, huh?
fucking hilarious.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I mean, it means communist, but the actual, like...
I guess, like, pink is a derivative of red, maybe? Am I thinking? Overthinking it?
It became a meme in my friend circle back before there was the word meme, because... and I have to dig them out sometime, but we made all these short films years ago where I played a... someone who hated communists based on Tom Savini. Because I remember watching him and he's talking about the Vietnam War, so I decided to roll hard into that and create a version of him that enjoyed it. And I remember there's just all these outtakes from my friends who are like just asking me questions and prompting me, and I was just coming out whatever bullshit that had popped into my head. And amongst our group of friends, someone brought up Anton Chekhov, the writer, and I can't remember the exact wording, but I remember turning it around and giving my friend an asthma attack because he was laughing at her.
Is there a point of pride when you actually endanger a friend's life from laughing so hard?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember having sex with a girl one time and she had a migraine. She came that hard. I was like, well. Fucking 5 stars from Meltzer for that one over.
I'm trying to think of something witty for that one. I got nothing.
Absolutely
nothing.
To be honest with you, she did most of the work. I was just lying there. Yeah.
Fantastic.
On Tony Schiavone's podcast, his co-host Conrad said, he always makes shit up about Tony, and he goes, Tony told me about the first time he had sex with his wife, and Shivani's just letting him go on, and he goes, yeah, he called her over to the frat house he was living in when he was in college, and she came in the door, and Tony was lying there completely naked with a bucket of KFC in front of his junk, and he turned to her and said, sweetheart, what's worse for you, the chicken or the dickin? He said that Tony's pickup line with waitresses is to wait for them to come back, and then he goes, hey, so tell me, what are you doing for dick these days? Which I was like, that's a very polite way of putting it. But I love how Tony Schiavone is just literally a fucking, like, he is a juvenile old man. He's very professional when he's on television and all that, but in the back of my head, I'm just going, he's just thinking about porn.
You tell me he's the kind of guy that would jerk off the porn in a 16-wheeler doing 70?
Yeah, he'd lie about it then. He'd say he wouldn't do it. Like, but he's so funny. It's just, it's so weird, like, to know, like, he was always such a straight-laced guy when I was a kid, like, on television. Like, he was the play-by-play guy for WCW. And it's just like, I did not know that this guy had the same level of maturity that I did when I was watching WCW in 1980. But it's a kind of a thing, actually, podcasting. It's its own medium now. Like, it used to be, it was like an offshoot of radio, but it is kind of its own thing now, this long-form conversation that never really existed before. And
the idea of trying it to be short-term conversation has all but died now. I've noticed that a lot of podcasts that try to do, like, the 10 minutes and done shit has really dissolved, like, by rapid numbers.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
I don't listen to any short ones, so it's
mostly... No one does anymore. The short ones haven't really survived. Like, and...
I mean, we try and keep our, you know, Why Wrestling to about an hour, because we don't want to go forever, but... We just did a pay-per-view that I'll be dropping shortly because we watched a Monday Nitro, and that's over 2 hours.
So. But, I mean, by when podcasts first came out, there was almost a 50-50 divide.
Yeah, there was a limit.
There was
a standard. There's your 20-minute podcast and your 40-minute podcast. And
It seemed like everybody either tried to get underneath half an hour or over 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
That, you know, and now it's kind of like, well, I've seen podcasts last for nearly 5 hours, and I'm like,
wow,
guys, like, holy shit.
Well, I mean, I remember when I first got into them, the first podcast I used to listen to was Wiggly's one, the Smart Wrestling Fan podcast. And I used to love how I'd be like, oh, cool, it's 3.5 hours long.
Yeah.
And I just really enjoyed that. I enjoyed the fact that I could rely on this for when I go for a walk. I'm like, yeah. I want to go for a walk. I'm going to listen to this the whole way through. And those are my favorite kinds of podcasts, where it's like, you know, I don't like anything that's quite short. I like at least an hour, you know? But I don't know. Like, I think you're better off. If you've got 15 minutes worth of content, make it a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Agreed. I mean, hell, most podcasts now, the first 15 minutes is just going to be their fucking rolling sponsors. And, like, you know, it's like, specifically, like, when we started to make this thing, there was no actual big inspiration. I never heard a podcast and went, that's what we should be. But I will tell you this. I listened to a lot of Giant Bomb in the past, and still to this day still do. And my favorite episodes were the ones where they all lost direction and just bitched about Domino's for, like, an hour and a half. You know what I mean? Like, the truly funny conversations is just the surreal observation of the common man, or at least the common man that would have the gumption to stand behind the microphone and be like, well, I have no shame. Here's what I do.
Here's my thoughts out loud.
Yeah.
For the world to hear if they're listening.
Honestly, like, I've always loved that format, you know? And that format can't be shortened. That format has to come out in...
This is organic.
Yeah, it has to droop out in slow molasses-like clumps, or it's not fucking fun, you know?
Like live streaming. Like, I follow one live streamer, and it's he does multiple characters, and I'll sit there watching him for 3 hours on the trot. And it's just in-joke after in-joke after in-joke. And these are all very specific to Ireland as well.
Okay.
You know, like, I think anybody...
Is this Viper?
Is this
the Rubber Bandit?
Yeah, no, it's Viper's character streams. But, like, his stuff is so fucking niche, right? Like, it's not just Ireland stuff. It's west of Ireland stuff. It's like, if you grew up on the east coast of Ireland, you probably wouldn't get half the shit he's on about. Because he does jokes about streets in Mayo. And he's like, you know that street in Ballinrobe? And you're just like, yeah, I do. Yeah. But, like, what? Like, why? Like, it's so weird. And I don't know. It's kind of a bizarre thing where I'm sure back in the 60s or whatever else, the philosophers around computer culture would be like, and there would be people will be able to broadcast their philosophies over the internet, and it's like, no, that's not what people are doing.
No,
they're playing Tetris. They're playing Tetris 99, or they're playing fucking Call of Duty. That's what they're doing over the internet, and it's just the way it is.
I mean, stupid people are.
Yeah, but it's like, it's not. I mean, there are philosophy streams, I'm sure. But yeah, you're better off. Like, I'd rather watch a video. Again, make a nice video. I'll watch that. If I'm gonna watch a streamer, I just want to watch some bullshit. Or I want to watch Will Ospreay wrestle his girlfriend. All right.
That was awesome.
Like, it's
so good. It was like the best thing of the week.
I had a moment during that match where it was when his music hit, and I went, "Oh yeah, it's still the world. Yeah. I still live on planet Earth." Like, you know, I was like, "It's okay." And
yeah, totally. I had that same moment too. When you said that to me, we were chatting afterwards. I was like, because you sent it to me, and I looked at it just in time to catch the main event, and I was like, this is perfect, and just the ringside was perfect, and everybody's attitude, and those two being, like, really good workers and really big wrestling nerds, and they kept making the thing about their... I mean, the whole thing was perfect. It really was great and a lot of fun, and then the music, and like you said, it was like, I feel a little better.
Well, David Starr and this other guy, something Newman, or... they had a match on the undercard that was really great as well. Like, they went out there and wrestled like they were in front of like 1,000 people. Nice. And battered each other. What was funny though was like the end of it where they were all like, oh, let's not shake hands. I'm like, you were literally on top of each other all night. You know, you were bleeding on each other.
Like, okay. What? So, a couple of things I want to talk about, things that I have learned at this, you know, what is surely the end of days, or at least of human civilization as we know it. One, man, people aren't dumb, but they do really dumb things in the span of a panic, like that, like literally being on top of each other the entire fucking time, and then worried about shaking hands at the end of the fucking day, as if that would actually be the final coffin nail. Two, people are a lot nicer than I thought they would be in this fucking...
Can be if they're forced to be.
Like I said, I have gone to grocery every day, because we're not allowed to take break in the break room anymore, which has been officially fucking quarantined off. I have gone to the local grocery market, A, to spite my company, and B, this is how I measure the metric of how bad things are. It's like, all right, how stocked is it? All right, it's fairly fucking stocked. It doesn't look like anything's really a disaster. Whatever. And three, the most important thing, I have realized that even in a disaster, food is short, resupplies are unknown at best. Nobody in the world is buying Chef Boyardee macaroni and cheese. The world hates that shit.
I got to weigh in on this because Bob and I were joking because he looked at me the other day and was like, no, we got to go shopping because we need to get essentials. I was like, nothing's going to be left. He's like, no, we eat all the healthy food. I guarantee all the healthy food will be left. And sure enough, he went into the Kroger and, like, all the healthy soups were left, all the chips and pop are gone, but, like, and, you know, and I said, so wait, you need to tell me that we're going to survive the apocalypse because we'll eat the low-sodium wheat thins? And he's like, yeah.
This is the funny part. Now, maybe it's because I live in the northeast of the U.S. and there is a ton of local fucking shit growing around here.
Oh, here too, yeah.
Produce? And meat, where being bought out in record amounts, are being stocked daily and have like not run out of either. Yeah.
Nope.
However, I will say this. The snack food, I'm amazed at how bountiful it still is.
Really?
It doesn't go off. You can keep snack food in a warehouse for a year and then put it out on the shelves and it's still good for another year.
My point being is they must be getting shipments daily. Because, like...
A lot of them are, though.
Yeah.
I mean, our markets here, literally, the president of Kroger, Meyer, one of the guys, he came out to the public and was like, guys, stop buying everything up in fear of things not being here. We have the warehouses right here. We, like, we have a 2-week schedule of food that's waiting to come into. You don't have to worry.
The roads are not being bombed. This isn't a war. Even if there is massive quarantines where you can't leave your homes, and it's not going to be that bad, people.
You're still allowed to do essential trips. Even Korea and Japan and all these other places were letting people do.
The food trucks will not be stopped. Like, calm the fuck down.
A bag of rice.
I'm actually mad. Like, yeah, right.
You know, it's like, yeah. You can get it, but a tin of beans can't. Yeah. So just chill the fuck out.
Yeah. And also, really, what are you going to do with 30 pounds of hamburg? Like, you're not going
to... This is my problem. It's going to go to waste in a time when we need it. And Americans are notorious wasters already. And my big problem with this is people went and did all that. And all I could think of was, I've seen how much my family members throw away good, perfectly good food that they shouldn't be, or unopened boxes of things. We don't need to add to that, man.
Like, here's the thing. At any given time, it's totally fine to have about 2 weeks' worth of canned goods, bottled water, whatever. But that's it. Calm yourselves, people. Because anything more is excess.
We do a Costco trip every other month and a grocery trip every 2 weeks, basically. And that's probably not even that intense. Because like you said, you shop at Costco for your TP because it's cheaper.
I mean, no, I don't. I just knew a guy who works there and was able to get me.
Oh, okay. I was going
to
say, it was funny because we had just done our Costco trip like 4 weeks earlier. So we were all stocked up on that stuff. I was like, well, good, because we won't have to start rationing.
Well, that was something that pissed me off, too, because it was like, all right,
At least it didn't poop you off, though, because that would have been real shitter.
Indeed.
I actually had some, I had the shits like 2 days ago. and I'm not kidding. The thought that came into my head was, what a horrible night to have a curse.
What is a man, John, but a miserable pile of shit?
I wanted to tell you guys this, actually. Yesterday, I left the house to go get food, and it was miserable here. Like, the mist and wind and rain and dark gray skies all day. Okay, and I was walking down the street, and there was this old man ahead of me wearing like sailor's rain gear, you know, like the slicks, and he's like trudging along ahead, and I'm walking along, minding my own business, and like something catches my eye on the ground, and I immediately it's this long trail of slime, and my foot is above it, and then I'm like, as my foot's in the air, my eyes follow the trail of slime all the way up to a dead rat, and its guts had been pulled out by something bigger than it and strewn across the path. And naturally I went, "What fuck?" I let out a shout and I jumped back from it because, you know, lizard brain takes over and it's like, dead rat there, don't get away from it. The old man in front of me turned around because I scared the shit out of him, and he was wearing an improvised mask made out of a plastic bag, alright? Combined with all the fucking mist and gloom, the word Silent Hill fucking screamed through my head in that moment. I was like, it's here. I finally entered it. Where's the crowbar? I'm gonna need this.
I'm with Mel. I didn't expect your little island nation to be a bunch of hypochondriacs like that. Like,
old people are scared, man. That's just the way that...
I think John said it right at the beginning. Admit you're scared. I think that people, I've encountered, we're going to actually be having our furnace done here, regardless of all of this stuff, which is great because we'll have AC before the summer, so that's cool. And I had a guy drop the paperwork off to me today, and we were just chatting, and you could just tell the guy was, we're just two normal humans kind of talking. He's like, to make of this.
Well, let me...
And I was like, nobody does.
Okay, be scared. But your makeshift mask ain't gonna save you. Like,
me and I were just being really... I mean, I've at least run across enough people who are just sort of leveling with each other. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Hang in there. And I mean, for me, it's been pretty cool because I've got a pretty good community and I am able to contact them. I was saying this to my sister the other day. I've said this to you guys all along. It's pretty fucking cool that we live in an age where we're not literally stuck in our houses and have no way to talk to anybody and no way to get news. And I mean, we've been able, Sidecast has been able to chat with each other through this whole thing and make jokes with each other and lighten up the mood. John making those wrestling jokes to me the other day was like the first time I'd laughed out loud in like 2 days.
Oh, this is.
It was like, God, I love my friends. This is why it's. We're lucky. We are a lucky culture to have something like this happening right now. And be able to have all these things still be accessible to us.
Well, I was talking to my dad yesterday, and we both kind of came to the conclusion, like, listen, yeah, I am anxious. Who the fuck in the planet isn't? I'm not particularly scared, angry. I'm a bit irritable, but that's because of the immediate people I still have to deal with right now as things are getting bad, or not the people I want to deal with. But, there's a certain sense of calm and euphoria in the fact where it's like, listen, there's no hills to run to. Like, it is worldwide. There is not a nation on this planet that's not...
You can't hide from it. You can't bomb it. You can't shoot it with a gun or blow it up.
It's literally something that we have to wait to pass. Right. You know what I mean? And call me an optimist if you must. I think having the world literally have to say, hey, shut up and sit down. And calm down for a few. Might actually do more good in the end than bad.
Way long overdue, for sure.
I mean,
the only thing that brings me any anger, and I'll say this, is that I do have anger, but my anger is explicitly at the way that our society is structured such that places can essentially levy my life versus my husband's job because they won't make the right... It's like, at some point, we're going to have to make a decision of, do I just stay home?
Well, technically,
not going to declare a national emergency or something because this becomes a life or death situation for people like me.
Technically, and again, this is going to be how much do you want to fight these cocksuckers in the end, too.
No, I found out what they're doing is illegal today. I've already.
But that's my point. It's a national state of emergency.
I know.
I'm just saying this for the sake of anyone listening.
No, great.
Which means, dear listener, if you don't want to go into work while the national state of emergency is, they don't have to pay you. But they cannot terminate you for this either. So, and again, I understand that's easier said than done. There's a lot of cocksuckers that are employers out there, and maybe that option is being illegally kept from you. But legally, this is why I'm kind of I'm happy with my company, because, we've been on a skeleton crew for the last 4 days. And anybody over 60, they just basically said, don't show up, wink, wink, just, you're fine, just go home, you know what I mean? Which is what they should be, because they shouldn't be exposing themselves. Right. I'm pissed that I'm exposing myself, but at the same time, I don't want the job to go under either, so whatever, I'm sucking it up and doing my part for whatever purpose.
You just said it, though, everybody is stuck in it.
Yeah,
however this is going to play out, it's going to play out. Things are going to change after this.
Well,
they have to.
Well, I mean, I don't even want to get into that. We will discuss that in the months and years to come, because if it's one thing I have found out...
quarantine years.
Well, if it's one thing I've found out is I am not a very good accurate predictor of the future, no matter how fucking hard I try. So,
Nobody is. I've been trying to tell people... The reason you call them bold predictions, or just predictions, is because nobody's ever right. It's like these sports guys that are out there that are like professional pundits and it's their job to predict things. They're never right.
Yeah.
They're never right. They're right as much as I'm right. So I'm just like, no. Predictions are fun. Make sure you treat them like fun. Don't take them seriously. Make all the predictions you want.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon becomes the president of the United States.
Oh, no, not even as a joke, Mel.
I've said this to multiple people as well. I was like, I hope this will reprioritize people. All right? A man sitting on a bus with his knees open, or a woman being a superhero in a movie, or a black person playing a white part in a movie, or, a man complimenting a woman when she doesn't feel like being complimented. These aren't fucking problems, okay? All the stupid identity politics bullshit that we've been swimming in the soup of for the last few years... All the things that right-wing morons have been annoyed about, all the things left-wing morons have been annoyed about, none of them are important.
Okay, boomer, jeez.
None of them. None of them. People need to reprioritize.
Well, it doesn't matter. None of those people can avoid, every single one of those things is not immune to this.
But it's like, instead of attacking each other for minor bullshit, all right, and creating division and indulging the worst parts of our divisive tribal mindset. I think it's time to just get over that.
Well, John, that's why our government released this virus in China, don't you know? So that so that we could find that common, you know, thread to grow the community. And yeah,
I thought the Chinese released it on the world, tested it on their old people.
All connected. It's all connected, Mel. Bill Gates owns the fucking virus.
Right, the Bill Gates one. I read about that.
Yes.
Yeah, you should, if you have time and access to it.
And you know you do, because y'all ain't working right now.
I'd recommend checking out the documentary about Apollo 11. It's made from 70mm film footage that was declassified by NASA like 2 or 3 years ago. And it's fucking incredible. It opens with a shot of the rocket moving towards the camera on the giant kind of tracks that had to be made to transport from the hangar to the launch pad. And just the fucking scale of it is unbelievable. But what I came away from it, the thing that frustrated me so much was how competent everybody was. Like, everyone was just so good at what they were doing.
Bastards.
And like, Neil Armstrong gets to the...
They just believed so hard that they were like...
Well, I
wanted it.
It wasn't even a matter of that. It was just like, they're like, we're really good at this. Like,
yeah, they were.
They get to the moon and like the computer wants to push the lunar lander into a crater. And Neil Armstrong just goes, no. Listen, I'll just fly it in. He fucking eyeballed the lunar landing. And like, when he talks about it, he goes, yeah, I just did it. And everyone's like, oh, okay. Well, that's cool. And then like, they couldn't get vitals on Michael Collins when he was at one point there was no pulse coming in from him or whatever, and they're like, Michael, we're having trouble here getting vitals on you, and he goes, listen, I tell you what, if I stop breathing, I'll let you know. And he said that while flying the orbiter around the moon. Like, it's, but like, the, it was, it's bigger than people's petty humanity. And that's what was so great about that documentary, in that they had all the mission audio as well, and they found all this film of the, like, they found film that they could match to the mission audio. So like, there's just, it's one of the most incredible documents I've ever seen. Not necessarily a documentary, it's an incredible document of what happened here. And
well, that's because it was made by professionals, John, in a hangar. All of
it's a. I'll say this: there's a shot from a telescope lens on Earth of the rocket leaving orbit to go to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not kidding; it moves like the Millennium Falcon when it leaves our orbit. The speed it shoots away at is terrifying. Like, I was legit scared. I was like, that's too fast, man. I wouldn't be into that. And like the idea that you're moving that fast with no resistance.
I'd be more afraid of hitting the dome on the way out, man.
One of my one of my favorite pieces of VFX ever is in Spaceballs. You know, the dome around the planet?
Yeah.
It just looks so cool. Like, I think ILM did it, like, so, like, the guys who actually did Star Wars did the effect of that film as well.
Probably.
But, I mean, come on.
Because that was the thing, I remember reading about Mel Brooks. He went to George Lucas to be saying, listen, I'm just going to do this. I just don't want you to get pissed off. And he goes, okay, cool, do you want help? And just like, here's a team, they'll build all the ships for you and stuff. And he's like, all right, yeah, cool.
Do you see this company I created? They can help you with this movie.
But yeah, it's amazing. It's I would recommend hunting that one down and giving it a watch. You'll watch it, and again, for my money, I was just there going, some people are just so smart. That's all I come away from. I was like, good God. You know? But I will say as well, in America in the 60s, people seem to all dress the exact same. You just see like hundreds of people on the streets all wearing those shirts with the pens. You know? Yeah.
Well, I mean,
we're not very original people.
No, we're really not. That being said, though, speaking of food shortages and all sorts of shit, we are getting close to that 3-hour mark, and I'm starving. I have to go fight the hordes to get to, you know, half a pound of hamburg, and I need to take a shower before they cut off the utilities entirely, because, you know, it's the end of the world, guys.
It's the end of the world. It's
literally the closest we've ever gotten.
I know, we were really close this year.
We were close this year. What will 2021 bring? Okay. I will say this. This is the most boring end of the world scenario so far. Like,
We're all just sitting around waiting to die.
I missed the meteor idea. Like, or, you know, at least then we have, like, a dead deadline of when it ends.
Would have been better.
Anything like would have been better than this. This sucks. Like, I'm not gonna lie.
Apocalypse ever.
Every morning at 6 a.m. and my alarm goes off, I get pissed off that I know I am only one of 1/16 of the fucking nation that has to leave the house. Pisses me off. Not that I'm afraid to go to work. I'm pissed I have to get up that early.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'll be in work tomorrow as well.
Well, I mean, here's the problem is, it's a skeleton crew at work, but the two douchebags I don't want to deal with are there. And it's like, oh, every fucking day, just like, Canada shut its borders, oh god! Like, would you shut the fuck up?
Everywhere shut its borders. Travel is a bad thing right now.
John,
airports with people in them.
It doesn't matter how logical you try to be. He thinks the world's flat, so it doesn't matter.
It's over now. Done.
Yeah.
Cash in your chips, folks.
It's and it doesn't
with that.
And it doesn't matter how many times I tell him, "Could you fuck out of my area and just let me go? Just let me do this shit." I had to threaten to walk out the other day because this guy is my superior, and he comes over, and he's just got the typical fucking retard stare. You know what I'm talking about. If you ever saw somebody who thinks they're smarter than they are,
there's a certain look they give at you
like you're a fucking retard.
Yes, I have to save you. Bob is working for him right now, too.
No, it's not.
No, it isn't.
He comes up to me, he's like, "Listen to this." And I'm like, "Do I fucking have to? I'm trying to work." And he just sticks his fucking phone into my ear. And it's some asshole on YouTube just reading off this thing about fucking Bill Gates, that this is all Bill Gates' fault. Somehow, some way, this is all Bill Gates.
Bill Gates went from getting everybody to run Doom to this.
And I just look at him and I'm like, even if this is true, I'm at fucking work. My life sucks enough as it is. Because, again, we're like the only ones who are at work. And two, I asked you three times nicely, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. How many ways can I tell you nicely, I don't want to hear it? I looked at him and I'm like, one more fucking time, I'm leaving. Do you understand? I just figured you'd want to know. I'm like, how many times do I have to tell you I don't? Stop it. All right? I have to accept an inload of work from you. I don't have to accept your fucking bullshit. Get the fuck away from me. Oh, just like that spewing of they were doing you a favor. Yeah,
I didn't know you worked for Rocky Balboa.
I was going to say, you like my Sly Stallone impression? Yeah. Listen, you joke, that accent
exists where he lives.
By a lot of people here.
I've met a lot of those people in that area,
and
too.
All the accent is when you're excitable, if you talk fast and mush mouth, people will believe you. That's what that accent is. Yeah, no, I had to threaten leaving the work, and I'm like, dude, seriously, fuck. So yeah, I'm like his favorite dude at work right now. Not a word was spoken today. But like, how many times can you nicely tell somebody to fuck off? Like,
as many times as it takes, I guess.
Like, it's the end of the world. It's the end of... If you truly believe that, what the fuck are you doing here?
Why are you here?
Go away.
If it makes you feel any better, I was talking to my mom about it the other day. My mom's currently sick. She's got, like, a chest infection that, like, she caught before all this. So people are freaking out whenever she's, like, around them.
Of course they are.
And, but What's funny was she just goes, I was saying to her, I was in work the other day and people were driving me insane. So I literally just started Google imaging a place we went on holiday to when I was a kid.
Aww.
And I was like, I just like looking at pictures of this town. It takes me out of it, like, you know. And yeah. I told her about it. She goes, yeah, that sounds great. She goes, you know what we should do when this is over? And I was like, what? She goes, we should just go there for a weekend and get fucking loaded.
I will say this, when the bars reopen, I'll be the first one in, because I'm going to need a fucking drink after this one.
I'm seriously going to have to beat it, beat down everyone else,
yeah,
probably.
Well,
so that's my current plan, once the plague is done.
Nice. Me and my mom, get loaded with Ma, I love it.
We're going to go to the arcade, and she's going to gamble a lot, and then we're just going to go drink, and
sounds like a plan.
You know what I can't wait for?
Yeah.
2 weeks after we think the disaster's over, the third world just stops caring altogether, and we're back in the same fucking boat for another 6 months.
Oh, of course.
Because that's definitely gonna happen.
What's funny is, like I was planning on making a big life change anyway. I was like, I'm gonna move home for a while, and I'm gonna do all this. And it's just like, it's that classic saying, man plans, God laughs. Whereas I go, it's going, oh yeah, great, cool, this has just made everything easier. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, China. Fucking.
Thanks, Bill Gates.
Yeah. Thanks, Chun-Li.
I'm going to
cut this. I don't know. Look, I mean, it is what it is. It's not. I woke up today and I felt normal in my brain for the first time in a while. Like, I don't have the same stresses as you guys do because I live here and.
Because you have a compassionate society, yeah.
Circumstances are different. But it is a case where I got a friend who is very high risk. Thankfully, he lives in the middle of nowhere. He lives in a cottage out in Connemara now. Like, he's pretty much the only person I know who's in immediate danger of anything. It sucks for him because he's like, I can't go food shopping anymore. You know, he has to have people deliver his stuff out to his place in the middle of fucking nowhere. But, we were planning on me heading out to his house to watch WrestleMania, and they're going, you know what, I probably have it right now, and he says the worst this is going to be for me, like, you know, but
right.
For him, like, if I give it to him, I'll kill him. It's,
right.
I don't know, it's kind of a strange one. Me and my friend Laurent, we were out having a few drinks the day the national emergency was declared, which is the thing where we were saying, like, we could both have it right now, not know. Like,
right.
And a lot of people our age have it for 2 weeks and never show symptoms, but infect people around them.
Yeah,
it's completely fucked up.
Yep.
But you know, whatever. It's a good time to watch. It's a good time to watch movies. I watched Jumanji, the new one today. The one,
nice. Rock. What'd you think?
It was pretty good, actually.
You know what? You should check out, John. You want to see a total wrestling movie? Hobbs and Shaw.
I'll see that soon. I've been watching through.
It dropped on our cable, and Bob recorded it, and he ended up falling asleep, he got through three quarters. He missed the last act. I was like, I am not going to watch this, but it roped me in and had me the entire way. There are so many jokes for wrestling fans in there. It is a pro wrestling freaking angle. The entire movie is a pro wrestling angle with explosions and cars, and actually after a little while I started to embrace it, and I mean, who doesn't want to see The Rock and Jason Statham?
Well, those films are like, I've seen all eight of the final the Fast and the Furious films. I've seen up to eight, so the Hobbs and Shaw is the next one for me to see. It's
not something spectacular, but it actually was fun.
But these films are bizarre because they actually get better as they go along. Like, part 8 is the best one of the series so far, as far as I'm concerned. And that's fucking weird.
Weird.
Like, because the first two are awful. But it's, I don't know, it's weird. The 8th one is really good because they wound back all the sentimentality and acting, basically. And they basically just went, we've got Jason Statham and The Rock. Let's just let them be the stars. And that's pretty much what happened in the next film then as well.
Yeah, that's what they do.
I mean,
I'm not even, like, convinced that half of that was, like, unscripted.
Well, my hope is that, obviously, John Cena's in part 9. And they're going,
oh, nice.
They have to bring Batista in for part 10 then. to cap it off, to get all the wrestler movie stars in there. But then what I want is I want another Tokyo Drift with Okada and Tanahashi in it. That's what I want.
I love that sentiment. Yeah, let's round it out for part 10.
Can Suzuki be the antagonist in that one?
He can be whatever he likes. Film where he beats up Godzilla? At this point, it's all bets are off.
Speaking of Japan, season 3 of Castlevania is actually out and pretty good. And as far as things you were saying, it's a good time for this and that. You know what? I bet you Steam's having a sale right now. You know what? It's probably never been a... I bet you video games make a fucking killing. And if ever there's a coffin nail for hard copies of games, this will be it. I bet you 6 months from now, all GameStops are out of business.
Well, the Animal Crossing is coming out tomorrow, and I might have to hop on that, and take the trip to the island.
Or you could just buy it digitally, you fuck.
That's what I meant.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought you meant, actually go out to buy it.
No, he's saying the island in the game. Dude, I don't even play the game.
Listen, I don't come from his country. I don't know his lingo.
Fucking game is set on an island.
It's literally the game. Okay.
I don't know that, John. I'm not a sissy queer that sits around and plays Animal Crossing, all right? I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I am.
Hey, those of us who can't... Hey. Those of us who can't stand up to pee need to move along.
All right. Let's wrap it. She just killed it. We're done. All right. I was Matt. I guess we might see you next week.
Yeah, we'll...
Look, everything's kind of up in the air right now.
We'll be fine. It'll be fine. We'll get this one out, and you guys will have something to listen to during the madness.
Well, next week we're going to be playing Keith's Bernie Sanders space game or whatever it is.
Yeah, right.
That's what he's into.
Actually sounds great, and I kind of hope we get our doors shut so I can devote an entire day to that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That would be fun.
I'd totally get down with that.
But yeah, all right. So you're
I'm gonna be a bulldog. That's who I'm gonna be.
Bulldog.
I'm gonna do all Ryman promos.
I am going to be Dr. Bartholomew.
I'm gonna have to think about it. All right.
Say your goodbyes if you want to get out of here. There's no room for protocol anymore. It's the end of the world, guys.
Good night. What? No, you got to do the thing, and then you got... No, good night, bitches.
No, there you go. Mel said...
Goodbye, bitches. No, I don't know.
See you later, bitches.
Bye, everyone.
Yeah.
Freddy Krueger doesn't stab you in your foot in your dreams.
Yeah, right. I hope to.
I had a dream that a Rottweiler ran up about to maul me. But then it jumped up on its back and put its paws out and just wanted belly scratches.
Nice.
While you suffer, I get nice ones. That's how it works, John.
Well, the difference between me and you, Matt, is that I get to sleep every night.
It's got me there. I don't get to sleep maybe more than 3 nights a week. It's true.